CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have to consider the end of quarter situation coming up. You know, March ends in a few days here, and that's going to have investors turning their attention to Q2. When you look at the equity side of it, it does matter quite a bit. It matters with fund flow and how portfolio managers and institutions are positioning themselves for not only the next quarter, but also for the rest of the year.
It's Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, and analysts. I'm Helene Braun, markets reporter at CoinDesk, and before we dive deeper into the market, let's have a look at today's prices, which are slightly in the red this morning. According to CoinDesk indices at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Bitcoin was down by about 1% over the past 24 hours, currently trading at $70,114. Ether was also trading lower, about 1.8% at $3,575. The CoinDesk 20 index, which tracks the broader market, is down about 2%. To learn more about what's happening in the markets today and what to make of yesterday's news, let's bring in our guests, Brett Kenwell, Equity and Options Analyst at eToro. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Brett, what's behind these slightly lower prices this morning?
Yeah, you know, I think we have to consider the end of quarter situation coming up. You know, March ends in a few days here, and that's going to have investors turning their attention to Q2. Maybe that wouldn't matter so much in the crypto world, just because it is a market that's always on, and people are always trading and investing and moving in and out. But you know, when you look at the equity side of it, it does matter quite a bit. It matters with fund flow and how portfolio managers and institutions are positioning themselves for not only the next quarter, but also for the rest of the year. And why that matters for crypto now is, you know, with the Bitcoin ETFs, they're becoming a pretty significant asset in the ETF world. We've seen billions of dollars flow into these names, and it's having a true effect, a true impact on Bitcoin prices. And as Bitcoin is the leader of the crypto market, we're seeing that trickle through crypto overall into that sentiment and how basically a lot of those names have been moving. So I think, you know, as we come into the end of quarter, we could see things kind of fluctuate a little bit. As we go into the start of Q2, we can also see things kind of be a little bumpy. But let's not forget, you know, Bitcoin just ran to new highs, just hit all-time highs this month. So to see some profit taking, to see a little bit of volatility after such a huge run, not really surprising in the short term.
I was at the Bitcoin Investor Day in New York City last Friday, which turned out to be a really great event. Shout out to Anthony Pompliano and his team. One thing that stuck out was that Cathie Wood said that if you do the math and every big institution allocates only 5% of their capital into Bitcoin, it would go to 3.8 million. Do you think that's realistic?
Man, Cathie Wood has never shied away from the big targets, whether that's, you know, Bitcoin or Tesla, and so much credit to her. She's been ahead of the move in a lot of these big winners over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. So I personally, I'm more of a baby steps kind of analyst. You know, I just look for, you know, that sort of that next step. And when it comes to those really big targets and big pictures, I like to start small first. Let's start with 100K and see if we get there and when we get there and how we handle it moving forward from there.
Is 5% even a realistic number? I saw Matt Hogan from Bitwise in a post yesterday said that institutions are now mostly allocating 3% of their capital into Bitcoin versus 1% before. So maybe 5% isn't so far off in the future, and she's actually right, but do you think that's a reasonable number for institutions?
The 5% number? Yeah, that seems pretty reasonable. Look, as Bitcoin becomes, if you go back, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, Bitcoin was, it didn't have a reputation where large investors maybe felt super comfortable with it, right? But as we continue to go through bull market and bear market cycles, and those bear markets don't, you know, Bitcoin comes through and doesn't only come through and survive, but it comes through and thrives, and it hits those new highs after. It shows that it has that staying power. It shows that it is a legitimate asset, and it also shows that, you know, we're starting to see more of that focus from institutions. We see it, whether you want to look at it at just the crypto level, where they're already allocating funds and assets to Bitcoin, or if we want to look at it at a larger scope where we're seeing more traditional finance products incorporate Bitcoin. We're seeing that with all the Bitcoin ETFs that the SEC approved earlier this year. You know, so I think as the SEC and regulators become a little bit more comfortable with it, institutions will get more comfortable with it. And it, at some point, it likely becomes more of a passive sort of product, a passive investment for the funds, as they just allocate on a more regular basis and look for the ETFs and other sort of funds to sort, to drive that momentum going forward.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com.
Brett, I want to look at Asia here for a second. Hong Kong will likely allow in-kind creations and redemptions for spot Bitcoin ETFs once approved. Now, in the US, the spot Bitcoin ETFs are using cash-only redemptions. Explain to me what the difference is and why one is potentially better than the other.
So, well, in the US, the way a cash redemption works is if you are buying the Bitcoin, you can't flip those shares and redeem them for the, you know, the physical coin, the physical Bitcoin. If eventually we see other cryptocurrencies join the ETF run, they won't be able, assuming they're cash redemption, they won't be able to redeem those shares for coins. It works similar for other ETFs and products. You can't redeem, you know, gold ETF shares for physical gold. You know, you redeem it back in cash when you sell. Mm-hmm. There's pros and cons to it. The pro is that it, for a lot of investors, it gives them access to possibly a market that they didn't have access to before. And you know, we can debate the pros and cons of cash redemption or beyond the redeem the physical coins out. But at the end of the day, if you want the physical coins, I mean, you should go out and buy the physical coins. You should go out and buy Bitcoin if you want to have the actual, if you want to have the underlying asset. Whereas if you just want exposure to it, the ETF on the US side is a great alternative. But I would say that at the end of the day, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter so much as how these ETFs work, just that they exist and continue to come into existence. As we see more countries put ETFs and ETNs on the marketplace, it just opens up a larger pool of investors that now have access to Bitcoin and other, possibly other cryptocurrencies. And so as they have more access, it just creates an opportunity for there to be more demand, and more demand creates an opportunity for higher prices. And I think that should be the focus for investors.
Right. Because I've heard a lot of experts say that if Hong Kong were to actually approve these ETFs, it would be huge. Is that because Asia's crypto market is much bigger than the US market? How big is the potential here for new investors entering the space in China?
You know, it kind of circles back to what Cathie Wood's price target was. I don't know that it's realistic or not. I'm certainly not going to bet against Cathie and say that it's not realistic. I also am not going to necessarily commit to saying a 5,000% plus move is in the cards in the next few years. So I would love to see it. We'll see how it plays out. But to answer your question, I think because Bitcoin has that limited supply situation, it creates that opportunity for prices to really balloon. And as we open up more demand, whether worldwide, you know, whether that's on the U.S. side with more ETFs or that's in China with their ETFs. Yes, China has Asia has a large population, but the world has a large population, right? And they all have access, or in some ways have access to getting Bitcoin. And I think that when you have a limited supply and an increasing pool of demand, that's what can really drive prices. And I think that should be the longer term focus.
Brett, Litecoin rose about 10% yesterday on rumors that ETF issuers were potentially looking into a Litecoin ETF after the CFTC last week, and I believe yesterday again, classified it as a commodity. Do you think there's enough demand for such a fund? Do you see a Litecoin ETF in the future?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a Litecoin ETF. I also wouldn't be surprised to see an Ethereum ETF. So the SEC already took that first step and approved the Bitcoin ETFs. It stands to reason. Some will even argue that it's at this point a when, not if situation, that they'll approve other ETFs for different cryptocurrencies. Given how long it took just to get to the Bitcoin approval, it's hard to say, you know, when some of the others like Litecoin or Ethereum might be on the table. Obviously, the expectation is that they are on the table and that approval will come at some point. But if it does, it's just another positive step, you know, in the crypto world overall. It just like Bitcoin, it will open up another pool of demand for investors who don't have access now or certain with their certain accounts, they don't have access. So that just creates more opportunity if we do see those catalysts come down the pike.
So, Brett, just going back to Bitcoin again for a second, after previous halvings, we saw an increased correlation between Bitcoin and the stock market, specifically the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Have you seen a strong correlation in this current bull market? And do you expect it to be even stronger going forward? Or do you see Bitcoin diverge from the stock market?
You know, it's great that you asked that, because I do think that there's a big correlation to it. I think investors really lean into Bitcoin. Maybe that's more on the institutional side. I can't say, because it, you know, Bitcoin does have quite a bit of retail participation, which I think just kind of helps drive that drive those prices higher. But there is a big correlation. If you go back even just over the last several years, and don't even contain it necessarily to the current bull market we're in, but expand it out and look back several years, you see that Bitcoin tends to lead, especially the NASDAQ. So a lot of people, I think, might view it more as a tech correlation, which does make sense. But you see that Bitcoin, you know, tends to either bottom or top before the NASDAQ does. And it's obviously not 100% correlation. It's not perfect, but it's pretty close, especially between big market moves. And we saw it this year, right? I think if we go back to October, we saw that the S&P and the NASDAQ were hitting new lows for the year, and they looked quite vulnerable, to be honest. And at the same time, we saw Bitcoin was not only avoiding lows, but it was actually hitting 52-week highs. So that was sort of one of several, but at least a slight, you know, tip of the hand that said, hey, I think investors might be ready to embrace some risk on exposure. And now we've seen, you know, such a booming response out of Bitcoin, not only through Q4 to end the year, but all through the first quarter of this year. It's been one of the best performing assets, period. And the stock indices aren't even close.
All right. Thank you, Brett, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Brett Kenwell, Equity and Options Analyst at eToro. And that's it for today's show. Tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to see me, your host, Helene Braun.